Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you're listening to The Unknown Show. Thanks for tuning in. Tonight on the show, we have the winners from a contest at the Ministry of Artistic... what the fuck is that? Ministry of Artistic Intent in New Jersey. I don't have too hard. Well, they're all going to come on the show. We're going to talk about... talk about their winning Okay, that's that. Well, that's cool. Ministry of Artistic Intent. Man, I wrote down MAI, and of course I fucked that up. But, on the line, Chelsea Pomero, are you there?
Yes. Hey, bud. How are you?
Good. How you doing? What's new?
Good. What's going on? How you been?
Nothing much. I've been horrible, actually.
I heard. You all right?
Yeah, I got like pneumonia, and I was in a really, really bad car wreck the other day, and I just got off an airplane last night, late night, so I'm like all fucked up. You know, pardon me.
And you're still hosting this interview. You're amazing.
Well, you know, I mean, these guys, all these winners, you know, they have a musical guest, Frank and Bill. We have a poet, Allison Corvo, and we have an artist, Kalan. All going to come on and talk about their cool shit that they're up to. So I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Yeah, they're really great. They're a really great crew of artists.
Yeah, and I'm excited to talk to you a little bit about your project. Can you tell me a little bit more about MAI? Can you tell everybody else what's going on with it?
Sure. So the organization is called the Ministry of Artistic Intent, or for short, the MAI. And we have a lot of things currently going on right now, but before getting into that, I'll just say that our mission really is just to help artists fulfill their creative goals. So when we come up with projects, we're always keeping that in mind. So I guess that's our jumping board for all the other things that are happening in MAI. So the winners you're interviewing are from our first annual Summer Showdown contest that happened last summer, and it took place at the Middletown Arts Center in New Jersey, and it was our first time doing it, and it was a blast, and I was really pleased with how the process went and to have the winners, and so, of course, we're doing it again. It's running right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
nice.
Which is very good.
So I know MAI is a Jersey thing, a local Jersey thing, but obviously you guys are online, and you're you're taking submissions for the round two of the contest, correct? Online?
Yes. Online.
So now how does that work if you don't live in New Jersey and you can't come and perform? Then that's part of it, right?
Well, that is part of it, and I've been thinking about adding a second component, maybe not at this moment, but, like, some other time during the year that's less busy for us, for people who are not in the state.
Yeah.
It would just be more simple. You submit, we have the judges, and then we award you the prizes, because people have been asking, and I thought, we could do that, too. No problem.
Yeah, it's awesome. But it is cool to go out to an event and see the people perform. I like the aspect of how you have it on your site. You know, somebody submits. First they submit, and I guess if they get through your submission process and everything, they get to come and perform, which I think it really turns into a really great show. I heard good things about the first show from Mark Brunetti and Keith Baird.
Yeah, he was one of our judges.
Yeah, Mark Brunetti of the Idiom. And you have you have a little history with the Idiom magazine, don't you?
I do have a history with the Idiom magazine. Mark Brunetti was so gracious to take me on as his intern when I was still at Mom's University. And it was a good time. It was good.
Yeah.
And it was
a
relief,
great guy.
Too, because He is a really great guy, and he does a lot of really, really great things. And it was fun,
yeah.
And I was relieved because it was probably the best internship ever, especially compared to what was offered. I shouldn't say that about my school, but it's true.
No, I understand what you mean. So when you worked on the ADM magazine, you got to learn about putting together publications. And for people who don't know, the ADM's it's this really cool underground poetry book. It's the Jersey Shore, Jersey Coast, Central Jersey area, and there's about 5,000 of them distributed a year for free. Mark and his crew and Chelsea, when you used to work for them, you guys would make all these zines and hand them all out to bars and restaurants and go to shows. It's very cool.
It's very cool. And I think Mark, too, I think he might also get submissions that are from out of state. I could be wrong on that. You'd have to check with him, but I feel like...
Oh, no, he definitely gets submissions from out of state. I just mean it's like how we're talking about how MAI is like a local scene. It's its own little scene,
yeah.
You know, in Jersey. People coming to the shows, checking stuff out. The ADM's the same way. When I think of some other things going on down at the Jersey Shore, it's similar, you know, and it's really great to have the different arms of the octopus, if you can call them, you know.
Well, it's true. There's this really great growing art scene that just keeps continuing to flourish and expand, and there's a lot of people doing a lot of great things right now, and it's really cool because at the end of the day, it's promoting more people to create art, and that's really what it's about. And there's a lot of things happening, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, for me, I saw the idiom at the Inkwell because they put them everywhere. They're all over the place, and it's a lot of different types of writing. And when I saw that, I thought, well, this is really very cool. And it was one of the first times I saw poetry in this kind of indie form out in the public, and it was pretty inspiring, I would say. It's cool to know that out there, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that when they pick up that magazine, which is very cool.
Well, another cool thing about MAI, like I was at one of your shows for, I think it was the benefit, Hurricane Sandy. It was kids who had their high school band instruments destroyed. It was at the Brighton Bar. It was a fundraiser. And you had a similar thing going as to what this contest seems to be. There was poets would perform, and there was bands that would perform. And then there was artists at the bar painting things for sale at the show, selling stuff that was already completed. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah, we try to – well, everything kind of grows out of each other. And, like, for the contest, for example, I thought, oh, we could do this for poets. And then I thought, well, you know what? We got to do it for everyone, right? So we did it for all the genres. Actually, lately on my mind is fiction, but we can get to that later. That's still brewing, what to do for the fiction writers. But always trying to combine the poetry, the music, and the art. Because I think that we all learn and grow from each other. And it's important for poets and musicians and artists to interact. And that's actually why, with the contest, there's a fourth category called collaboration. And that's open to people joining forces. An artist can team up with a poet. An artist can team up with a musician. It could be a videographer. Whatever it is, as long as it's two mediums coming together, that's the fourth category for this contest, too. Because we're just trying to promote the collaboration and people teaming up, you know? And as far as those benefits, too, you know, we started doing benefits and giving it the money away to different people. And then I work as a mentor for teens. And through doing MAI things and working with the teens, I decided that we should revision a little bit just for the next year or so to start providing free teen arts workshops and to pay the teachers. Because there's so many of us here. I meet so many really talented artists, poets, musicians, and writers, and we need more opportunities to, I hate to say it, get paid and share our knowledge. So now all the benefits coming up, we have two coming up, the funds are going straight to that. Like, we have a pilot program this summer, our first teen arts workshops. We have three teachers set up, and that's what all the money's going to. Like, May 31st, we have a smaller show at the Brighton Bar with four bands, four poets, and for artists, and then the show you went to, again, we're doing June 8th at the Brighton Bar.
Oh, great.
10-hour benefit show. Yeah.
That's awesome. So you have the four bands that are playing at the Brighton Bar show, the one coming up, Do you remember the lineup?
Yeah, we have some pretty good musicians. We have this one band, Savannah Joyce in the Moment. Really awesome. They played our last benefit. I read with them at this event, Woman of the Song, and that's where I first heard them. So they're really great. This band Lake Effect from Montclair, I think they're awesome. We used to cut the grass, who another MIA member and I saw a weekend or so ago at the Asbury Yacht Club, and they're killer. And then Deluge was actually my band. We mix poetry and music together. And our poets are poet Danny Brown, poet Roberto Carlos Garcia, Chelsea Yarrow Gold, and a new poet that we've just come across, Dana Yuke. So we're trying to mix poets who have worked, or performers who have come to our benefits and contributed, and then other people who are circulating, both local and a little further away. So it's pretty good.
Well, that's pretty cool. It sounds like you got a lot of things set up. And I feel like you're actually, like, working towards helping some other people, which is cool because, you know, a lot of times these things, they peter out, you know? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I want to ask you.
You had a long week, man.
Oh, no, this is a reoccurring theme. This is a reoccurring theme with me.
It was like Bud Smith's Tragedy Week.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. The contest that's coming up, we're gonna be talking to the winners from the first round of the MAI contest. Tell me a little bit more about the second annual contest that's coming up. Give me some more details.
Okay, so that's currently running right now. Submissions opened up April 15th. They're going to July 15th. I know last year we had the deadline, and it was a very soft deadline, and we kind of made it this exciting race to get it in the last 48 hours, because that's what artists do. Everybody waits. But this year we have narrowed down the judges. Last year we had multiple judges per category. This year we're just focusing on one judge for each category. So we're excited about the judges this year. It's really very cool. So for the art judge this year, we have Parlor Gallery. They're in Asbury Park and Cookman Avenue. They're just—they're a really great gallery. You can check them out. I suggest everyone go. And then we have Joel Weil, who's a poet. He teaches at Binghamton University, and he actually read at Dodge Fest in 2008.
He's coming all the way from Binghamton?
I don't think he lives in Binghamton. I think he lives in—I don't want to get this wrong. I know he's from Elizabeth. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's from New Jersey. Yeah. But he teaches there. And then our music judge is Jeff Raspy. And then, of course, for collaboration, the MAI is going to judge collaboration. That's not as exciting as the other judges, but it's cool. So, the collaboration category, it can be just any array of art combined together. Uh-huh. So we figured, like, we'll just judge that. Because how do you even know who to judge that? You don't know what's coming in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have no idea, you know, the day of. The people doing it probably don't even know what the fuck it is the day of, you know,
it's true. It's like, hey, man, you want to make something?
Yeah, let's go make something. You want to talk, leak out a little bit of what these prizes are, so maybe people will get a little bit more excited about trying to get into your contest? What's going
Absolutely.
On so far with prize-wise?
Okay, so the one thing about this contest is that the prizes continuously develop throughout the entire submissions process. I think
last year at the
exciting
end,
that way.
Last year at the very end, you gave away a baby rhino, right? It was a live
baby
rhino.
It was the
grand prize.
Yeah, he played guitar and he tap danced. It was awesome. That was kind of part of the fun of this contest. There's a couple things that are really fun. There's always a cash prize. Okay, and the cool thing about the cash prizes, it keeps growing. There's a guaranteed $50, but there's an entry fee to this contest. It feeds the submission. So depending on how many people enter, that determines how high the cash prize is. So each winner wins a different amount. It's always a minimum of $50, but it's getting split right into that prize money. So that's like a gamble, and I think that's fun. So that's why I did that. And so for the poets, a couple of the prizes we have so far are We're getting a collection of New Jersey poets who have published to donate their books into this a bundle of books to be given to the winner. We're also working on putting together a little poetry tour at all these different open mics and spots in New Jersey for the winner to go home with. If you want, you can interview the winners yet again. And we have some other things up our sleeve that I don't want to reveal yet because I don't like doing that. You'll see on the website it says more to be revealed. For musicians. It's like, I think it keeps it fun, you know? Like you
That's
submit
the secret
and then
to
you
life. You got
to
keep it fun.
You got to keep it fun. You got to keep it like a gamble. Like, oh, I think I'm going to submit. And then you submit, and a week later you see you just won recording time. Actually, we have recording time for musicians, too.
Great. What studio is that?
So this is a studio called Sound Foundation Productions. This guy does the sound, the Inkwell in Long Branch, for people who know. They have a project going up there. I believe it's called Noise in the Attic. And Chris Everett is a sound guy there. And this is a new studio. He opened it fairly recently. And he's pretty good at what he does, I would have to say. And we want to celebrate him opening the studio and get his name out there as well.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, pretty cool. So you'll just have to check out the website and check out the Facebook event page for the continuing prizes.
Fantastic. All right. Yeah. Well, I got to say, Chelsea, it was awesome talking to you. And I'm really glad that you're doing all this great stuff. I can't wait to I'll see you in person soon, and I'll have to buy you a beer or a glass of wine or a baby rhino or something, okay?
Yeah, likewise. And for all the things that I mentioned, they're all under the umbrella of the website. So if you want to see in more detail the contest, the shows, there's a list of everybody who's ever performed at our shows on here and other information, go to www.maintent.org. It's myintent.org, and you can see all of the things.
Very cool. So thanks again, Chelsea, and I'll catch you
later. Thank you, Beth. All right. Be well.
I will be well. I am going to be well. That's a good fucking point. I'm going to be well. All right, so next on the show, I want to talk to Frank and Bill, musical act, and I think we just have Bill with us. Bill, you there?
No, we got both of us.
Ah, cool. You guys are on like a joint call. That's great. How's it going over there?
Good. Frank, say something. Beautiful.
Okay, before we get into the interview, I want to get into talking to your band, about the band and everything and the kind of music you play and all that stuff. But I thought, there's no better way than to show what the band is than just play a track. So I got a couple tracks here. I got one that's called Way Too Low. So I'm going to play that now. And then after the song, we'll talk about it and we'll talk about the music. Okay?
Sounds great.
I smell gunpowder, I smell marijuana, I smell patchouli, I smell beer. Lost my ring finger outside Tijuana, can't find one reason why I'm still here. Watch me go, go, go way too low. Watch me go. Straight line since I was 10. Don't want your favors or your forgiveness. Don't want to see you round here again. Watch me go, go, go way too low. Watch me go. Hard times to work out. touch the powder and bring this thing down. Don't need my dog tags or dental records. There won't be one hair to be found. So burn your house down, drink up your money.
Cool, that's Frank and Bill. The band is Frank and Bill, and the song was Way Too Low, and you guys are both still here on the line.
Yep.
I like that song. I could picture that playing on my little record player as I'm sitting here on my desk. That's what, you know, usually my MO involves that for some reason. Now, we're in the age now where everything is MP3. You guys had sent me these files as an MP3.
Right.
Have you guys been recording a long time? And this is just now we're entering the digital age with all this stuff. It, you know, remembering back, I could think about my youth and recording like stuff on 4-track and then 8-track. You know, do you guys go back even farther than that as individuals? Maybe not necessarily as a band.
Yeah. I years ago, I had a 4-track reel to reel. I recorded. I recorded a CD maybe 20 years ago on a 8-track cassette recorder, and
cool.
Yeah, things have evolved, you know, and
yeah.
They're very nice and pleasant now.
Well,
we go back to playing in 72 when we started.
Yeah, you guys were playing in 1972, is that what you said?
Yeah, when we started ninth grade, we were in a band together.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Of
what
course,
was the band
things
called?
Changed, and we played for a while, and then we moved on, and then in about 1980, we played again for a couple summers, and Frank continued playing, and I moved on, and just a couple years ago, we got back together again, and the rest is history, right, Frank?
Yes, sir.
That's great to like just keep coming back to it, and our changes over time, of course, you know. Just as we're talking about the recordings change over time, and now you guys go into the studio, and all of a sudden you can edit things digitally. They can record unlimited tracks, stuff like that.
Right. They can do wonderful.
Auto-tune is great for me.
Yeah, me too. Me too. There's something with your guys' sound though. It's got a very timeless kind of sound. It's got a little bit of a kind of like that train sound, that train rock sound, an old Johnny Cash style stuff, and also a mix of Grateful Dead, like the upbeat joy of it. What's some great bands you guys are into that maybe I'm not privy to?
You
want to
go first there?
No, he knows every band I know.
Okay, let's see. Well, of course, you know, Nick Lowe. I've always been a big Nick Lowe guy.
Great.
Yep.
Graham Parker.
I've been getting into some, are you familiar with Chris Smithers?
What did you say, May with Chris Smithers? Is that what you said?
No, Chris Smithers. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Oh.
He's a singer-songwriter, just a great voice, gritty. I kind of gravitate to guys that are kind of off the beaten track, left the center, you know, John Prine, John Hiatt, you know, you probably heard their songs, but you may not have heard of them. So if it's something about somebody getting drunk or killing somebody, I say, wow, that's a great song, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I picked that up from you guys kind of like you know, from what I've heard, just kind of like a rollicking murder ballad kind of theme.
We call that the serial killer song.
Yeah, the serial killer sound. That's fantastic. So now, you guys, congratulations. You know, you won the Ministry of Artistic Intent contest. That's very cool. Your duo here. Are you guys playing any shows up and coming lately? Something on the horizon?
Well, I think this Saturday we're playing at Sandy Hook at the Coast Guard station. They're doing a benefit run, and we're going to be playing for their finish. Then May 31st, we're at Espresso Joe's in Keyport. And then June 8th, we're the Garden Walk. Is that it in Keyport?
Yes,
yeah.
Garden Walk.
And we're also doing the Brighton Bar with Chelsea on June 8th.
Wow.
So that's our next May-June schedule. Who knows?
I hear you, man. I don't even know what's going on with me next week, so I'm pretty proud of you guys that you know what's up until June. How do people keep track of what's your website?
Well, Facebook. Frank and Bill on Facebook. It's just Frank, A-N-D, Bill, you know, on Facebook, and that's us. We're on Reverb Nation and Bandcamp, and, you know, the right now 2 CDs are on iTunes, and we're in the studio right now recording a new CD.
That's great. Where are you guys recording at?
Retro Media in Red Bank.
Oh, that place is great.
Yeah, that's where we recorded the other one.
I remember I went in there years ago, maybe in like 2002, with a band, with the intention of recording an album, and I didn't get to do it there. It was too much money. But man, that place is beautiful. Now we're gonna talk about the old school recording equipment. They had a lot of that stuff still there. They had digital stuff, Pro Tools. I think they were mixing Pro Tools then, but it was all, you could have the drums done on, you know, 2-inch reel to reel, and then mix it down from there. It was great.
What he did, John Knoll did the last CD, and fortunately, we all went to high school together too, so it was a nice reunion. But
cool.
I think after it was done digitally, he ran it through the tape, didn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
He actually ran it through the tape.
Yeah, warm it all up.
It was pretty neat to watch.
Yeah, give it a little more of that kind of like brown sound to it, kind of like take the edge off of the all the digital cleanliness. That shit gets a little too clean sometimes, you know? You kind of dirty that stuff up a little bit.
Well, we're real good at
it. Oh, I hear you. I hear you, definitely. Well, I got to say, it's really cool, you know, talking about the band a little bit. I'd like to play another song to kind of lead you guys out. But first, I want to thank you for coming on the show, you know. And
thank you.
Appreciate it. I really do. I wish you guys the best of luck.
I got a haircut for this and everything, so.
I
respect you.
I got Frank to put pants on.
Yeah, I got my pants off and I got a mohawk right now, so. All right, guys, keep on rocking, all right?
Okay.
This song is called
She Got
Snakeskin
Boots and Hash Brown Hair. She was 115, now she don't care. The postman knocks at a 2:45. She got a little number waiting that he's never seen. There's a one-legged Nazi on the second floor. His home away from home is a liquor store. It's world domination for hours and hours until he's stumbling stupid and whiskey sour. With a medal needs to be, we're all just killing time. These are popping walls of paper thin. There's a fireworks show nearly every night. When the moon turns dark in apartment night, there's deals gone bad and chambered rounds. Kiss your ass goodbye, just hit the ground. Yeah, where the metal meets the beat, we're all just killing time. These apartment walls are paper thin. You ride Jersey Pine. By the coke machine, cartoons on a dirty floor. That fridge is shot, that milk smells bad. Three guys sleeping, which one is dad? Mickey D's still warm, all the kids say grace. Mom looks for hope but can't find a trace. She longs for a love that's nowhere near. He's buying quick six and a quart of beer. Yeah, when the metal meets the meat, we're all just killing time. These apartment walls are paper thin here at Jersey Pine. These apartment walls are paper thin here at Jersey Pine. These apartment walls are paper thin here at Jersey Pine.
Yeah, well, those guys are pretty good, huh? Fucking Frank and Bill. There you go. So, okay. We have two more guests on the show, and I see they're both on the switchboard. So we're going to go first. We're going to talk to poet Allison Corvo, and then after Allison, we're going to talk to a painter named Kellen. And I feel bad. I think I fucked his name up about four times. So he can come on and yell at me, and I deserve to get yelled at. But first, we're going to talk to Allison Corvo. Hey, Allison, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay, you know. I'm just rolling around in my little rolling chair I found in the garbage and drinking the last of my wife's coffee that she left out, sitting on the table. Can't complain. How's it going over there?
Good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's a fun time. I'm always happy to have poets on the show because I make them read poetry, so that works out for everybody, you know.
Yeah, Chelsea has been a really big supporter of poetry and getting people involved in the community, and so I really admire her involvement and commitment to it.
Yeah, she's a busy little bee there. So I was just perusing some of your Facebook photos earlier. I think I saw some slam poetry events. Are you into the performance side of it a lot? Or do you do like loser slam and all that?
I do. I'm living now in Atlantic Highlands, but I lived in Jersey City for 6 years. So
okay.
I was part of the, I guess, Jersey City Slam community, and this year I'm on the team that is sending poets to Oakland, California for the National Poetry Slam. So I'm really, really honored and excited about that. We have an awesome team that I'm just really looking forward to spending the summer working with, and just very passionate people who are excited about poetry and excited about, I guess, just spoken word.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, we could get all into that. We could talk prior to the rest of the show for what slam poetry is, what spoken word poetry, all this stuff, blah 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 blah. I love it. I love all that stuff. I wanted to ask you while we're on that topic, if you got any. You're talking about working with kids, working with maybe early 20-somethings, whatever the age group is, and kind of being like a mentor kind of coach. Is that what you're talking about as part of this team?
Oh, for the summertime?
Yeah.
For the it's all I guess adults. Most of us are in our mid-20s.
There you go.
And we are, I guess, sort of friends with each other also. You know, we enjoy writing together, spending time together, sort of. I feel very inspired by the other people on the team, so
very cool.
But it's not necessarily like a an education type of thing, or
no, I got you.
For
no
young
like
adults
a,
you know
it sounds more like band practice for poetry That's what it seems like.
Yeah, it's like summer camp.
Which is great.
Adult poets.
I just heard the different side of the coin was, maybe like people in their 30s helping teens out. But, that side is even more interesting, getting together and kind of, I guess, breaking down a lot of things you write. And there's got to be a lot of concentration on memorizing poems for a performance, right?
Yes, there is, and that will take, some poems that you, the memorization part of it comes easier than other poems, but
sure.
It's very exciting, it's a very invigorating experience to perform in front of people and to have that,
mm-hmm.
I guess, performance aspect to your words
mm-hmm.
and have people connect to it. It's just a really beautiful thing when I've had people come up to me after shows and say, oh, I had that happen to me, or I really know what you meant when you were talking about that emotion. And so it's just been a very amazing experience over the past couple of years doing it.
That's really great. What's your method, most common method for getting down a poem in order to perform it for the first time in front of a group of your friends, like you're talking about your team? Do you have like a certain thing you like to do to turn towards in order to get the poem down as like I was making a comparison before, like of a band. Like let's say you were writing a song and you're showing the drummer and the bass player the song for the first time. How do you go about memorizing your songs? What's your method?
Usually I record myself and then I'll
listen to
it.
There you go, that's what I do.
Yeah. I'll listen to it over and over while I'm driving, while I'm walking, and I'll start to just speak along to it. And every speaking along to it becomes saying full lines, which becomes saying full stanzas. And so little
mm-hmm.
by little, it sort of pieces itself together. And when it finally does come together, the first time that you do it from memory in front of people performing, it's like very nerve-wracking, very overwhelming. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing to make mistakes. It's a good thing to mess up. It just makes you a stronger performer. So.
Oh yeah, especially since they really can't tell when you're. They can't tell when you're fucking up anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't know
right.
a poem, You can give them a book with that poem printed out 1,000 times. They won't even open it up and look at it. So they're not going to memorize it, you know what I mean? That's what's performance art is beautiful like that. The flip side of that with, these moth readings, live without notes, and it's like a real story that people do. And I find something
yeah.
really beautiful in that in itself, but, it transcends over towards, something we're talking about, slam, because definitely there's so much room in, slam poetry or in a storytelling situation where the audience is kind of, hearing the material for the first time, where you can just ad-lib and just go off on it and just go into different things and come back to your source material. You can, go off on tangents.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
and I've
really
got off on quite
thing.
A tangent. I've been rattling on and on and on. You got me excited, and it's not good. And I'd like to force you at gunpoint. I'm holding a gun to the phone. Can you read some poems to us?
Sure. This is a poem about my grandfather.
Right.
When I called my grandmother last week, my dead grandfather's voice answered. We cannot answer the phone at the present time. Please leave your name and number, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Suddenly, I saw his casket and lifeless body flash in my eyes, bruises covering hands and powdered makeup pasted on leaf-thin skin. When I called my grandmother 2 days ago, my dead grandfather's voice answered. On the day of the funeral, I couldn't cry. I watched my grandmother look around and say to no one in particular, I can't believe this is happening. When I called my grandmother yesterday, I didn't tell her that it hurts to hear his voice. I wonder if in a few weeks she'll start to forget what his voice sounds like. She'll sit in the kitchen and call the machine and let the phone ring in her empty apartment so she can hear his voice. The deep nasal tones and the vibrations of 82-year-old vocal cords will resonate through the electric currents and hard plastic of the white rectangular box attached to the base of her phone. The 60 years they spent together will feel like one day, a story she remembers hearing, as if 60 years can be erased with one small red button. I wonder if in those small phrases, we can't come to the phone right now, she hears moments and memories coming back to her, as if in those smaller syllables and the near static of the recording she hears, "God damn it, Mary, I can't get this open. Mary, do you want some coffee? Come on, let's go to the beach. We'll get back to you as soon as we can," suddenly becomes a goodnight kiss, and a sarcastic smile across the table whispers between nightstands and voices in the dark. My grandmother will sit in her kitchen listening to the answering machine because it's the closest thing she'll have to the reality of his existence. His side of the bed, his tucked-away sweater in the drawer might feel as if it never was, as if his tired head had never sought comfort in its thread, and as if that yarn had never fitted to his form. But voices are real. Voices are real, and they make us face truths. I called my grandmother today, knowing she wasn't home, hoping to hear my dead grandfather's voice answer, hoping the stilted and forced message acknowledging that he's missed my call would make me feel as if 60 years could last forever, as if time and biology bend to my selfish whims, as if life can't be erased and forgotten like a blinking light on your answering machine. But all I heard was, "Please leave a message at the tone." So I wrote that, I guess, about 2 years ago. And my grandmother has not deleted his voice from the answering machine. And so it just really impacted me, and I felt compelled to write about it.
Well, that's good. The I'm trying to think when that's going to happen. You know, when, you know, you lose someone you love, you lose a spouse, someone you've grown so close with. Luckily, we don't have a house answer machine, so my wife's got her own voicemail. I got my own voicemail, and that's times are changing, huh?
Yeah, I wanted to sort of capture that moment of what that experience was like.
Oh, yeah, can you imagine? I mean, you know, so that's fucking sad in the best way, I'll tell you that much. You want to read another piece?
Sure. All right. I only called about a book. I only called to say I couldn't bring you the book. I only called to say when you left me that morning, when you kissed my forehead goodbye and I watched you close the cracked wooden door behind you, you left your book on my desk. I only called about a book, and suddenly I was saying how much it meant to me, how much the night we both knew wasn't going to lead anywhere meant. I'm in love with a man who doesn't know how to speak. I'm in love with a mute who inspires within me verbs and words and phrases, and I inspire within him silence. I was ready for it to be over. You forgot your book, and now your book is sitting on my desk with perfect pages, no signs of having been read, no marks of intrusion from outside eyes marveling at its Times New Roman font. The steel-cut pages and Photoshop cover lay snug. The only evidence of movement was the joke business card your friends made for you. Characters and lives tried to escape from the millimeter spaces in between pages where your bookmark designates. I wish I could curl up and rest in those pages, invisible amongst the words and lines and ink and characters, when your thumb holds the edge of the margin and your finger flirts with the edge of the page, you'll think of me. The blank space, the white frame around words and verbs and phrases will produce in you the same silence I left you with. In moments of loneliness, I keep thinking maybe something will have changed. Maybe you'll love me more, or I'll love me better. In a different book, you didn't grow up in a home with stock character, silent fathers, and fights that end the chapter. Words and verbs and phrases meant something. They weren't dried ink, leftover shadows of intention, letters like fading thumbprints of identity that spell out, I used to know who you are. Her name wouldn't make me skip forward pages reading the last lines frantically to see if I was betrayed. When I stood outside with your book, you looked at me with resignation, taking sad pleasure in the last few exchanges of dialogue, as if in those final words and verbs and phrases we would seek some resolution. Your book belongs to you, and I returned it.
gotta give those books back.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta, you know, push those people in their little boat out into the sea, right?
Yes,
so,
quick and painless. It's like a Band-Aid.
Quick and painless,
yeah.
Pull that goddamn Band-Aid off. So,
yeah.
Do you have any readings coming up or anything where people can come and see you do this in person?
I am pretty active at Jersey City Slam, and so you can find the Jersey City Slam schedule on Facebook. It's J.C. Slam, and they have an open mic every Thursday in Jersey City, and it's just a very supportive, welcoming community of poets and people who would love to hear new voices, and so we'll be having events throughout the summer to raise money to try and make it out to Oakland, California for the National Poetry Slam, but that's the next place that I'll be reading at.
Very cool. That makes me curious. I got an email from, I think it was Josh Ballard or something, some open mic night thing. It probably was the same one you're talking about. The Jersey City, they were meeting at some kind of Mexican restaurant and going blah, blah, blah. It sounded awesome. Well, cool.
The place is called The Dopeness. It's 332 2nd Street in Jersey City.
Very good. I got to say, it was a real pleasure having you come on, and thanks for reading those great pieces, you know.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Yeah, keep on rocking, okay? Don't take no for an answer.
You as well.
Later on.
Bye-bye.
And, that was Allison Corbo. And next on the show, I'm going to talk to Kellen. You there, Kellen?
Yes. Hey, bud, how are you?
Hey, man, how bad did I fuck your name up today? First, I accidentally I was on an airplane, man, and I got this email. I'm looking at it. I said, "Oh, so I think I first posted it as Karen." So
a little slightly butchered there.
Oh my lord! And then I got an email. Chelsea was kind enough to tell me, "Kellen's a man." Kellen, I'm sorry. Let me reread that fucking
cool. Thing.
I see that there. So how you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm real good. Not much, just painting.
Damn
you
right.
Know, doing
my
thing. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I was talking around on some of your Facebook painting pictures up there. I saw some really badass-looking octopus kind of thing and some... what's up with this? You had this awesome picture on your wall, and it's like a van painted with, I think it's got like tattoo... Like a tattoo shop and then further tags and stuff. What's up with that? Did you do that van?
The big blue one?
Yeah.
Like a big old box truck?
The big old box truck, yeah.
Yeah, that was a buddy of mine was doing some silk screening, and he was trying to run it out of a box truck. So I spray painted his truck for him.
That's badass.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You get into a lot of spray paint work. What's your preferred medium that you like to mess around in?
Right now, it's oils. I've been doing a lot of oil painting, like that octopus you saw. That was one of my more recent completed pieces. I used to do a lot of spray painting as a kid, you know, growing up in this hip-hop kind of cultural.
Yeah.
What you know? Until, unfortunately, I got arrested and had to give that up. So, yeah, that didn't work out so well.
When you get arrested for spray paint graffiti, when you get arrested for tagging, what do they do to you?
Community service, clean it up, and a whole lot of fines.
Yeah.
How hard is it
to clean spray paint off a wall? What do you use? What's the
It's hard. A lot of guys try and they sandblast it. They may just paint over it, you know, completely cover a wall in one color or whatever. Power washing, of course, but that's time staking.
Damn right, man.
It's tough.
Yeah. It's worth it though. I was just looking through a book of probably the most famous graffiti artist I know. It's definitely a whole team of people. It's not just one dude. Banksy and stuff is pretty.
Banksy, yes.
Pretty incredible. If not just for the sheer art of the adventure of it, you know, going into museums, putting his paintings on the walls and stuff. Who do you admire contemporarily? Not necessarily
He's on the top of the list. He's definitely a big inspiration to this whole scene. A lot of Ralph Steadman, you know, the illustrator for Hunter S. Thompson.
Yep.
His work is just mind blowing. I've been getting a lot of inspiration from his stuff, and always the classics, you know, Dali and stuff like that.
Cool shit. Yeah. It's funny too when like I think about going to like, you know, going to Barnes and Nobles or whatever, and they have like the bargain section, and it's always these giant awesome art books like that. You're talking about Dali books. They're like $5.
Yeah.
Like, all this amazing art. You know, you can cut them out and just make frame them, hang them on the wall or whatever.
Absolutely, or great just to flip through. You know.
Yeah, when you think about how expensive those fucking books are when they're new, and now, you know, they're like basically paying you to take them away. That's the
underappreciated.
Underappreciated. So these days, you said you're getting into a lot of like oil work.
Yep.
Are you going to be showing any of your stuff anywhere in the upcoming future where people can kind of come out and see your work in person?
Yeah, I will be. I will be doing the next summer showdown with Chelsea.
Cool.
I haven't yet paid my fee and submitted yet, but I will hopefully be chosen to attend again at that.
Okay.
Other than that, really no. I'm just recovering over a pretty bad foot injury. So I'm
what happened, man?
I slipped on some ice 2 months ago and completely shattered my ankle.
You know, it's not like such a crime to say that there was ice 2 months ago, too, doesn't it? It's like the very beginning of April or was it end of March or something? It's like, come on, that shit should be done. That shit should be done by then, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, there's a lot of local places. Jersey seems like such. It doesn't seem like it would be, but it definitely is like a place that welcomes. You know, everywhere I go, there's local artists hanging on the wall down there.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you in North Jersey these days?
I am. I'm up in Union County right now. Well, it's more central, but yeah.
Yeah. That's great. What's the what's your local spot where they will show art?
Really, all over. There's a lot of stuff going on up here. One of the bigger ones would be Rahway. Rahway's got a huge art scene that's coming up and, you know, really turned around in the past couple of years. I work for the Art Guild in Rahway, just a few hours a week sitting in the gallery there, which is excellent. If anybody should want to come by and look at some sweet art, please do.
That's awesome.
The arts everywhere, it seems, in this state are.
Yeah, these
really,
days, right?
coming up. Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
I think it makes me happy that most people I meet, the way things are now, you know, doing what you do, fine art, that might be slightly a different thing. You actually have to, like, it's still old school, you know, you're still going about it the old-fashioned way and you're creating it. But otherwise than that, people I know who are writers, people I know who are doing music, people who are making movies, the technology has made it so much more accessible. So almost everybody I meet is an artist. You know, there's not the money aspect that's stopping them from doing it. And,
absolutely.
Things
it's
have changed.
It's the love, you know. That's all it is.
Yeah.
The money in this field is very hard to come across.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Even the
very,
money
very
to
hard
do it,
to...
though. You
know, yeah,
you don't
well,
have to
that,
put any
that
money
well.
Now these days into it either. But you still do. Now you're coming across canvases. What's the trick? Is there like, is there things you like to paint on that are cheaper? Like I've seen guys paint on cardboard, paint on wood. Are you like a mixed media guy, or are you just pretty much stick with a canvas?
I paint on essentially whatever I can get my hands on.
Badass.
Yeah, you know, why not? My mother actually went to a giant store, and they were selling these humongous boards, and they had like hundreds of them. So she went and bought like 50 of them, and they're cool, you know, a little heavy, but whatever. It works. It holds paint. Why not?
It's great.
Yeah.
That's the thing that only somebody's mother would know to do, too, you know? Like how
Absolutely.
Many thousands of people walked in there and saw these big, giant, ugly-looking things and was like, I don't know, your mom saw them and was like, oh, man, Kellen can paint on these things. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
That's the kind of stuff my mom does that stuff, you know? When I was
I get the ability from her, so she's got the same kind of eye, you know?
Yeah. Did you get to do any schooling for this kind of stuff, or is it just a true passion that you just kind of developed on your own?
No, I did. I took a class. My first class was at FIT. That was just like a summer drawing course for younger teens and whatnot.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. That totally you know turned me into it and told me that I wanted to try to make this a life, a career, which is, as we all know, somewhat impossible. But I did. I went to the Ducray School of Art after that and studied there for probably 8 years part-time, taking classes here and there. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, you can't beat that.
I've given a lot of work into it.
Yeah, you know, it's like the more work you put into learning about painting, the more reward you get from it. And, too, it seems like one of those things where it's like that old Maya Angelou quote where she, you know, I love quoting Maya Angelou, but, you know, where she said that, like, creativity is like a faucet or whatever it is. You can't use it up. You can't use it all up. There's always going to be more. So just keep on keeping on.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, man, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. This is cool.
Yeah, it's very cool, and I hope to meet you in person one of these days. So for people listening, we've been talking to Kellen Doyle, and where can everybody find you, Kellen? What's the do you have a website, or are you just like them to track you down? Any other means?
I do have a website. It's clevaproduction.com, KLEVA production, or just Facebook, The Epic Beard Man, The with two E's.
All right.
So yeah,
and,
come and find him,
everybody.
That's right.
So, all right, man. I'll catch you around and be good, okay?
Very cool. You too. Thanks a lot, bud.
Yeah. So that's gonna be the show right there. I don't know how the fuck I made it through that one. That was a lucky one. I don't know. I didn't think I was gonna make it. I was falling asleep before the show. Sick, you know. I'm on a lot of medicine over here. But I think things are on the upswing, and I think things are going to turn around. And these days, there's not really a whole lot of shows scheduled. Technically, on hiatus would be a fucking show. I do want to come back. Summer's over. The next couple of weeks, next month or two, I'm going to be working on rewrites on a novel coming out Mark Brunetti's publishing house, Scataway House. So that's what I'm doing. But I hope you enjoy the nice weather that's finally here. Good night. Thanks for listening, and catch you around.
You